Jane from PiratePods.com, and I'm at The Hob in San Diego with...
Ben Kenny. I'm a musician. I play with Incubus and some solo music and some other artists whenever I can. And only if it's perfect for you. So generous in all that you do. Where would we be if there was no you? Not today. This ain't the time for having my way. Forget about what I had to say. Forget about what I need to say.
I mean, you just started the list right now, but you've got a pretty incredible resume of music in your past. Is there anything else you want to elaborate on? I know you've also got a label running right now.
Yeah, I have a record label that I put out my own music and some of my friends' music, and I play guitar for The Roots. That's something I'm very proud of. Really great band from Philadelphia. Just played lots of music. I've been really fortunate to be able to do that for a long time with a lot of great people, and I'm trying to keep it going.
Well, tonight you're working with your solo project, and I know you've got two albums out already, 26 and Maduro.
Yes.
And I read you've got another one coming out this year.
Yeah.
And you play all the instruments and sing on your records. Is that true?
Yeah. It's something that started a long time ago when I was a kid. I started recording when I was about 13 years old. My older brothers were musicians, and I would play with them all the time. We'd jam, but they taught me how to record and let me use the equipment, and I kind of began back then doing it, and it just always seemed hard to find other kids to play music with, so I just recorded a lot of stuff myself, and we all, like, in my family, everybody plays every instrument. So there was nothing strange about, well, I'm going to do the drums and then do the bass and the guitar and stuff. And mm-hmm. It was just kind of like what you did out of necessity. That was the only way you could make sure it got done right, you know?
Yeah. Well, having been on both sides of the spectrum, like being in a band and also as a solo artist, what do you find is more rewarding?
You know, I never really would, I wouldn't put one ahead of the other, or, you know, being able to do both. Mm-hmm. It gives you such a perspective, you know, when you're part of a team and the team is unified and moving towards one thing, there are certain things you can't get by yourself. And there are certain things that you can only get if you are by yourself, you know, moving forward and bringing other people on your path. So they're two different things. And in my life, they're both beautiful and they're both necessary. And I, you know, if I couldn't do one, if I had to choose, I'd flip a coin. I love being a part of the bands. The bands I've been involved with have been some of the biggest things in my life, some of the most important things in my life, and I loved every moment of it. And then to be able to turn around and reflect on it by myself and play records, make records by myself and play concerts with my band and stuff, it's just, man, I wouldn't want to have to choose.
Mm-hmm. So you don't find it kind of difficult or a compromise when you're in a band like Incubus, who has an established front man, to just kind of step back?
It's not, if your teammates are really good at what they do, it's never a compromise. And in situations like in The Roots and in Incubus, you know, you don't step back. It's never really step back. You come with it as best as you can, and everyone else is doing the same, you know, and everything will fall into place. So it really ends up being a pretty powerful thing. I played in a bunch of bands. I played in some bands that weren't very good, where there would be one or two people carrying a whole group of guys. And then I've played in bands like The Roots and Incubus, where it's like everybody's up there for a reason. There's no dead weight, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of fun.
I've been reading some of your lyrics and the poems that you post online, and they're quite lovely. So I was just wondering, is there a particular time and place when you sit down to write?
Whenever it strikes me, you know? I used to keep books with me, blank books, and write in the blank books all the time. Mm-hmm. But since everything has kind of shifted over to always having a computer around and stuff, it's just whenever it's quiet and I'm alone, I don't really, you know, I won't be like in a room full of people and be like, oh, I got to go write this thing down. You know, it's usually when there's some time where I can sit and think and there's nothing else happening, you know, mm-hmm. which becomes more and more rare as, you know, as I get more and more addicted to the internet and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I feel you there.
Yeah.
Well, one of the lyrics that really kind of caught my eye was, I'm sick of feeling trapped by my own rules. And I don't know if this question actually pertains to the song, but I'm just wondering, what sort of rules do rock stars or musicians set up for themselves?
I don't know. I know a lot of musicians, but I don't feel like I know any rock stars. Everybody behind closed doors, all the people that are, I consider friends, they're really just, you know, solid people just trying to do the best they can do. And they've got, you know, the same issues as, I guess, anybody else. I don't really know. But my rules, personally, I tend to be a very like left or right, black or white, on off kind of person. And through most of my life, everything had to be either ones and zeros. You know, there was no in between. And that's one of the big things for me, was to kind of give that up in my life, give up that ultimate kind of, you know, everything is either this or it's that. I either love it or I hate it, and kind of realize that, you know, the world is elastic, especially when you care about the people around you. They're never going to see it exactly the same way.
Well, if Ben Kenny were to be featured on a pop culture countdown, like one of VH1's 100 rock moments, what would your rank be and what would the headline be?
In the top 100, I'd be number 101, and I would be the guy who was always around when stuff was going down, but no one really knew who he was. It's like, I've seen that guy. People, I get this all the time, because I'm not like a really high profile person. You know, I'm pretty much kind of a behind the scenes musician, and I dig that. I like that, you know, because I don't consider myself, I don't really want to be in the spotlight, you know. Mm-hmm. But I love to play music and I love playing concerts. So I get out and about, and every once in a while someone will stare at me, and I think that it's because they think I look like somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they've had too much to drink and they're like, hey, is that the guy from CSI Miami? Or, you know, like, I don't know exactly what it is, but I always catch people looking at me and it makes me uncomfortable because I'm like, what do I do? You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. But so I think with that, I can attach that to the assumption of being the guy that's always when stuff's going on, but no one knows who he is.
Well, I read that you play 6 instruments. Do you play more?
I don't really play 6. When I was 8 years old, I started playing drums. Mm-hmm. When I was 13, I got my first guitar. And there was always a bass guitar. Whenever there was other instruments, there was always a bass guitar around. And we had a piano in the house when we were really little. And, like, that's kind of the fundamentals of playing music for me. And I've always sang. My mom has stories of me as a little kid singing and, like, annoying everybody. But that's pretty much it. You know, I'll mess around. I'll grab anything and try to make noise with it, you know, mm-hmm. especially if I'm trying to make a record and trying to catch something or create something. But it's really drums and guitar and bass and singing and recording it. You know, that's my favorite things to do.
Well, do you ever catch yourself playing like air drums or air guitar out in public?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one thing I don't do, I don't play Guitar Hero.
No,
because I feel like if I ever played Guitar Hero, it would be too close to the real thing and it would make me not be able to take myself as serious as I do, you know, especially after seeing the South Park episode where they mocked Guitar Hero. I was like, oh, man, I feel like I take it personal. It's like, that's me.
Oh, no.
You know, I mean, what we do can be amazing and can be beautiful for us doing it. And a lot of people must really like it because a lot of people come to the shows and buy the records and support it. So it has to be special for a lot of people too. And at the same time, there's something inherently like, you gotta be kidding me, you know? Like, this guy's playing a guitar and that's what he does. Mm-hmm. It's kind of unreal. And when I'm grateful, you know, don't get me wrong, I am absolutely grateful to the fullest extent, but it's kind of a funny thing. And I think if I played Guitar Hero, then I would no longer be able to take myself serious. I'd walk on stage and be like, I'm 1 degree away from some kid in front of a 42-inch plasma screen, you know, going, having his go at some AC/DC.
Well, I have played Guitar Hero, and I can't play guitar at all, so.
It's not too dissimilar. That's why I see people play it. I'm like, ooh, that's almost it.
Well, I still recommend you try it sometime.
Someday. You have to get me liquored up first.
Yeah. Well, now we know. You've been credited with being the catalyst for a change in sound in the band Incubus and their latest couple of albums. Is that something you agree with?
I don't take credit for it. People have said that, and people have asked me that, like, well, you know, how did you change the sound? I didn't really change the sound. When I came out to California and we started rehearsing, when we started writing songs for Crow Left of the Murder, we didn't go in and we didn't, I had to ask the guys, be like, yo, can we play Circles? Can we play this? Because they were just ready to move on, mm-hmm. to start from scratch. It almost was like a new band started right then and there, and I was there when it happened. It definitely was not me creating it, you know. Mike was hell-bent on just really stepping up his guitar playing and really moving to the next level, and everybody was just, like, really amped and excited. And it really was. We were in we were in writing sessions, and I would be like, guys, yo, can we play Wish You Were Here? He'd be like, yeah, sure. And, you know, you have to take into consideration that they just spent 18 months playing all that stuff every night, you know.
Right.
So it wasn't for them. They weren't in a hurry, like, let's go play these songs one more time with a new guy. It was more like, let's see where we can go with this. And people will blame it on me. People who hate it blame it on me. They're like, Ben ruined my favorite band. And people who love it blame it on me. And I'm like, you know, I can't take credit for it. There's four very strong-willed individuals besides myself and the band who are every bit as responsible for the sound of the band, you know, if not more responsible. They have to consider the history of the band, you know, and I'm not attached to that, so that's what I think.
Well, is there some sort of direction that you'd like to move in with the band, something to add to it?
Just new. That's it. It's every record's different. There are no two records that are the same with the band, and I don't think that there's any reason to go backwards now. And that's something I kind of had to learn, because I came into the band and we did the Crow record and it was fun. And then we started doing Light Grenades and it was again, starting over. We're going in another direction. And I was like, wait a second, I get it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This band, since before I even knew who the band was, this band always started over every time they started something new. And, you know, I have no idea what the next Incubus record would sound like. I just hope that it's as good as the last couple.
Mm-hmm. Well, changing the subject a little bit, what's the most memorable object that's been thrown on stage while you're performing? And do you appreciate that sort of reaction from the audience?
I definitely don't like it, because I look at it this way. I don't throw stuff at you when you're in the crowd. You know, don't throw stuff at me when I'm trying to play. I don't know. There's been, you know, of course, bras and panties are a compliment when they're thrown at you. But as long as they're not men's underwear, that's a compliment. Nothing against it. It's just not how I like to party. I got hit by someone had like a bucket hat with a bottle of frozen, like half frozen water in the bucket hat, and I got hit in the chest with it.
Ow!
And it was after the last note of the last song. I was like, yeah! And I didn't really know what happened. I was so amped from what we were playing. Is boom! I was like, what the hell hit me? And I looked down, and it's like half ice bottle just rolled out of this hat. And I was like, damn. Somebody feels like they got robbed. Whoever that person was, if you're out there, I'll give you your $30 back for your ticket. Just don't hit me with anything ever again.
Do you have any touring demands for when you get to a venue? Something that you just have to have when you get there?
An audience. Please let there be people at the shows, because when there's no people at the shows, that's when you really have a problem. Screw M&Ms, screw any kind of dressing room stuff. If you get there and it's empty, you won't care what's in your dressing room. So that's how I work.
Yeah. Could you give our listeners a Ben Kenny quirk?
Quirk? Damn, I thought that was just like 20 minutes of quirks right there. I don't know. Like, I mean, I'm just me. There's lots of things I'm embarrassed of. There's lots of things I'm proud of. There's things that I won't admit to. Mm-hmm. And they shall go with me to the grave.
Well, so far, of all of your accomplishments, is there one thing in particular that you'd really like to be known for?
Being a hardworking human being, you know, being someone that's not an asshole and someone that is thoughtful in what they do and what they leave behind, you know. I don't want to be known for making junk, you know, and I work really hard when I get the chance to, and I love to do it. So it'd be great if that, you know, was part of my my Wikipedia entry when I'm dead. But if not, you know, it was still fun.
And what are you most looking forward to this upcoming year?
Oh, I don't even know. We're going all over the world with Incubus, doing some international shows. Chris and I are doing a solo tour. My parents are going to come out for a little while in the summer and hang out again. It's kind of endless, so
yeah,
I can't wait.
So do you have a slang term that you overuse?
Oh, man, it changes every day. But I say like a lot too much. I sound like a Valley girl. I hate it.
Yeah.
Stop. No more of that stuff for me in 2010. That's my New Year's resolution.
What's your drink of choice?
I really, really like vitamin water, Formula 50, but don't tell 50 Cent.
And how do you feel about eyeliner?
I like when women with pretty eyes use it sparingly, and I think men should not wear it. If men are wearing, if you're Robert Smith and you're wearing it, it's cool, you know? If you're, David Gahan, mm-hmm. and you're wearing it, okay. Prince, I'm even okay with you wearing it. Anybody else, just stop. I mean, damn. You're going to regret it. You're really going to regret it. Look at the guys from Poison's early band photos, and they have to look at that and go, ooh, we went for it, huh?